Appreciate it. I will leave a copy of a presentation that I have here with you as well, and I'll pass these out around the room here. So obviously you guys are very familiar with Midco, the past, you know, the present and future, but I think it's always just important to, you know, talk about the company and how innovative we've been since 1931, obviously starting and operating movie theaters, you know, onto radio stations. The cable entertainment business in 1954, you know, which led to 1996, so that's launching the internet, and now having over almost 10,000 miles of fiber throughout, you know, the region, and that continues to expand. Obviously, that fiber is the backbone in for a lot of our innovation. Now we have four new world-class data centers, including a brand new one just opening in Fargo for a co-location data center service, an absolutely tremendous facility, and I'd love to invite all you guys to view that facility at some time as well. So
you guys launched internet? I thought Al Gore did.
We launched our internet product in 1996, but we'll leave that. We'll leave the rest of that discussion for another debate. And obviously, just a big presence in North Dakota with our 141 communities we serve. We're still obviously in the process of rolling out gig internet to all of our customers across North Dakota. We've got a couple cities left to launch that gig service, and pretty soon all of our customers in North Dakota will have access to gig service for $99 at every address we serve, large and small, in all the cities that we do serve. So. Another recent acquisition is we acquired a company called Invisimax. Invisimax was a fixed wireless operator in March of 2018. Us and Invisimax had a long-time working relationship to deliver broadband services. If you'll notice the Invisimax footprint on the next page, you'll see a lot of circles where Invisimax had deployed fixed wireless service for a number of years leading up to this, mainly the coverage area in the Red River Valley. They had some very innovative use of spectrum to deploy that to that fixed wireless service, and really was a great entrance for us into the fixed wireless market. The speed, the reliability, and throughput of fixed wireless has just improved tremendously with new advancements in technology. You know, the speeds that you are able to get now are and the reliability is much, much improved over where that product was just a few years ago.
I'm trying to get perspective on that.
Yeah, just I would say in the last 3 to 4 years. I mean, that technology has taken a great leap forward. It has to do with more and better spectrum, the ability to, you know, have better spectrum to get through trees and around buildings, so it doesn't have to be direct line of sight. So just a tremendous improvement in that technology, as well as the ability to send it further distances. So
on fixed wireless, and I've always wondered, how does that, do you need the fiber and the backbone to make that work, or how? I mean, why are there still so many investments in the fiber when this is an option for?
So you'll get to. We'll just get through a couple more pages of the presentation. And hopefully that will answer most of those questions. But you'll see that, you know, we've developed on the next page here, you know, some of the ways that we're currently deploying, you know, fixed wireless. It's coming out of our direct fiber. We're delivering it to water towers and elevators in many of these small towns, and then delivering it, you know, point to point or point to multipoint. So then it delivers out to all those farmsteads in the area, and then they can use Wi-Fi and other technology to cover larger areas of the farm. You know, the fiber is, you know, still needed to get to all these areas because of the range of fixed wireless. You still need that fiber backhaul, much like where the fiber backhaul for cellular and other type services. We believe we can send it up to 30 miles with the right spectrum. And that might be a 10-mile bounce on it. So you might be able to get a tower every 10 miles. But, of course, in North Dakota, we're lucky to have towns about every 7 miles and down every railroad track there is. So, you know, it seems to work, you know, very well in that areas. Obviously, fixed wireless is a tool, and the toolbox just has, so many various uses, right? You know, if you wanted to deploy fiber out there, well, you can't dig fiber for 9 months. I mean, if we've had businesses that have called to have fiber deployed or to have internet connection, and with fixed wireless, it doesn't matter if it's the 1st of January, sometimes within 24 hours, you can be on their roof setting them up with a high-speed, you know, internet connection where they may have to wait, you know, months if they wanted a fiber connection. Obviously, the terrain. I mean, Midco, whether it's the Badlands of North Dakota, you know, the granite of northern Minnesota, limestone cliffs of eastern Minnesota, I mean, you just have all these challenges with geography where the deployment of fiber is difficult, if not impossible, in many, you know, parts of our Midco footprint. So fixed wireless has really been a great tool for us that we've been able to reach those remote, hard-to-reach areas at a very cost-effective manner with very high speeds. So, you know, obviously for us in this really big first step, you know, the reason we're here today is we were a recipient in the Connect America Fund CAF auction with the FCC last week. We were the received bids for, it was a reverse auction, so we received bids for future fixed wireless growth. You see the CAF eligible blocks in North Dakota, and the ones that were awarded to Midco.
The light blue are the eligible awardees?
The eligible blocks were kind of the lighter, what would you call that, a peach color? And then the ones that we were the lowest bidder on are in blue.
So what's the difference there? That the blue ones you don't have, somebody else got those? Or the light blue, the light peach ones somebody else has?
Correct. I believe that
the new round.
In the latest round, yeah.
Okay.
So I believe that BEK was awarded a $1.2 million one in the Bismarck area, if I recall correctly.
Were all of the peach ones awarded to someone, or did some go unbid?
Some of the, you know, for the ones in North Dakota, I don't believe that I saw any awardees for the ones in far western North Dakota.
Mm. And in the eastern half of the state where I see lots of blue.
Yep.
Are there any little peach-colored ones that I am not discerning, or did Midco get all the ones that
these were are known? Census blocks, so we were awarded them by census blocks, so we were awarded all those census blocks as well as eastern South Dakota and the whole western spine of Minnesota. So it was a huge, huge chunk of our country that Midco was awarded.
What did you say you did in South Dakota?
Eastern South Dakota and then all of western and southern Minnesota, big L throughout Minnesota. So huge area, about $27 million worth in many, many census blocks. So
you better get more help.
Big area, yep.
This auction was cut there with
It was a reverse auction, and whatever ones that they didn't have with the old model, they put up for the CAF funding.
Okay.
So the subsidized carrier, I believe, had first right to take a look at that if they didn't want it.
And they didn't choose to.
Yep.
Okay. Then it went up for auction.
Correct. So, I mean, as you can see, obviously that's a lot of those blue areas. There's some more detailed maps, you know, on the next page. Obviously, we'll begin, you know, we've already begun our efforts to, you know, how we're going to deploy this. Obviously, it'll be a mix of fiber, you know, the high-frequency cable that we normally do, and, you know, there'll be additional hundreds of miles of fiber to certain areas and towers. There'll be additional, you know, build-outs of, you know, rural developments and other maybe other small cities and places as we begin to, you know, deploy this, and then obviously fixed wireless to reach some of the furthest areas away from the fiber. So we have to serve, you know, all these locations with 100 megabit connection and phone service in a 3 to 6 year, you know, build out. 40% in the first 3 years, and 20% each year thereafter. So up to a six year process.
What did you say, 40% the first 3 years?
Yes. You know, we have, with fixed wireless, we've had speeds up to 220 down and 27 up testing. So, you know, again, that speed and reliability and throughput, you know, all these trials with the new technology and the new stuff we're using, able to reach all these areas. So, you know, not only are you serving all those homes, but you're serving, you know, the many, many other homes that are in those areas now have this as another internet, you know, and phone option, because once you put up that fixed wireless tower, you're serving that entire radius around wherever you put that up.
I need to jump back to the maps.
Sure.
I thought I had understood one thing, but now as I turn ahead and see more of the maps, maybe I misunderstood. So I do see quite a bit of peach interspersed into the mostly blue area in the eastern part of the state. So are there census blocks that are excluded from your CAF II funding? looks like kind of mostly in the area around Grand Forks, probably.
No, we'll be covering all that area. Those were the, it's my understanding, those were the eligible blocks, but we're going to cover the entire blue area.
Good.
And the peach that's inside the blue, but those were the specific, where the specific identified homes were in those areas.
Okay.
So, you know, there's obviously, you know, we're still going to be access to potential, you know, towers, tall government buildings. There may be some things like that that come, you know, through us this that may be helpful to us just as a as an FYI, you know, assistance. We're still continuing to, you know, work on having all the right spectrum. Right now, we use a mix of licensed and unlicensed spectrum, but the more and better spectrum we get through advocacy with the government and access to easements in potential areas, too, just to make this process easier for us as we continue to work on our technological advancements in North Dakota.
What determines the availability of that spectrum?
The FCC, the government, they can, you know, the federal government controls that spectrum and the use of that spectrum. So I'm not a spectrum expert, but there's all these different bands of spectrum, and some of them have different uses. And like example, the educational band spectrum is not widely used in the Dakotas or in this area, but it's been reserved for educational purposes and hasn't been made widely available for things like fixed wireless. You've seen the FCC or different, you know, work to repackage spectrum and shrink it up to make it more of it available for other things. The cellular companies are very active in trying to get, you know, access to more different use of the different types of bands of spectrum to deliver their service, so there certainly is a huge demand from industry for spectrum in this country, and a lot of people trying to get more of it.
That's how we lost a couple of these. They took it away from us. years ago, and so I don't know how much this has changed, there would be an auction, some kind of spectrum was made available, and you would bid on getting that in a region.
Yes.
Is that still how it works, or are there times when now you're looking at this and saying, well, geez, you know, what would work here would be this spectrum, and that it's almost like going to a shop and just buying it?
No, most of it is still done that way. There is a couple upcoming auctions with some of the, I believe it's the CBRS or the old radio band, where they're trying to shrink that and make some more of that for spectrum, and I believe there will be an auction coming up for that later this fall. We have some pretty detailed spectrum reporting that kind of go through all the bands and go through all the different statuses. I'd be happy to, you know, kind of where it's at. We have a spectrum tracker that kind of tracks, you know, what might be available when and how, and be more than willing to share that with you guys.
Well, I'm not looking for too much detail.
Yeah, that might be.
It won't be all that helpful.
Yep.
But is all of this still just a big plan, and it hinges on you being able to successfully buy the right spectrum at auction?
We believe we'll be able to, more spectrum would be better, but we believe we'll be able to complete most of this with the spectrum that we currently have available, or we'll believe we'll be able to access what we need to get this done. But, you know, as this continues, and obviously if you think about, well, let's just say that you went back to our fiber map and you drew a 30-mile circle every 10 miles around that fiber map. There isn't much of the Dakotas or Minnesota that doesn't have this kind of service available, and that would take, you know, access to more and better spectrum.
And you're usually able to acquire an easement on the elevator, the water tower, whatever?
Yeah, so far that's been, you know, in our Midco getting more into that, so far we've been able to be successful in that process. We have had some occasional issues with access to some of the state DOT and towers and things like that might make this a little bit easier. So there's always challenges, but, you know, you always hope you can just work that out without having to get, you know, other folks involved to make those things happen.
So then you get this funding to help put it together.
Yep.
You get easements to put your equipment on tall facilities.
Yep.
Now what does the customer need for premise equipment?
So it's a very small, some of the new equipment, it looks much like a, used to be the old equipment was like an old TV antenna, didn't work so well, but now it looks much like a satellite dish, just like you would for your DirecTV or something like that. So they stick that on their roof and they run a Cat 5, Cat 6 wired, you know, down into the house, typically goes to their wireless modem, and then covers their house with that signal. So.
And so it said in here some statistics, 220/27 megabits. What does that get me? Is that like DSL that I would be accustomed to?
No, this would be way more than most folks, you know, need when you start talking about, you know, those speeds.
You can download movies and stuff.
Absolutely, in seconds. You know, so typically, if you have 50, 60 megabytes, you're comfortable having 4 devices streaming, maybe 20 devices in your house, you know, connected. I mean, you know, that's typically more than enough for all that kind of for that kind of service. The upload speeds, there isn't a lot of folks that do a lot of uploading, right? There is a few, so getting those upload speeds up will continue to be a challenge over the coming years, but that's not a lot of people that need a lot of upload speeds. They're uploading a lot of videos, uploading a lot of photos, things like that.
For those that still want to watch TV,
mm-hmm.
does this open up that possibility, or is that a separate thing?
So obviously, you know, once we have a strong broadband connection, you know, like this, you're able to watch, you know, over-the-top video, you know, Netflix, you know, those kind of things. There is the possibility of delivering what's called IPTV through this technology. It's just TV delivered in a different way. If we wanted to deliver a TV channel that way, it could be delivered.
With the same television sets, or is that a new technology?
No, it would be it could work with the same ones. Mm. Just like it's streaming. Basically, it's just IPTV is a different way of delivering the old cable service that you traditionally get here at your house. It's delivered, you know, through a digital cable service. IPTV is basically delivering that more in a streaming fashion, like you would receive your Netflix. But all the channels are really coming through in much the same way. If you're familiar with some of the slings or the other over the top providers, it's not that much different. And those things, I think, are just possibilities, right? We also have home security products, you know, different things like that we offer that, you know, we may be able to deliver to these fixed wireless customers. Is once you have that high-speed connection, what other products can you then deliver, whether it's phone service or a video service or a security service, you know, to that end user, that customer, whether it be a home or a business? We have a number of security different products that people can either buy a package for or a la carte for their home that might include their garages, their heaters, their, you know, all those things. It's really a suite of products you have available here.
Is it alarm?
Yep, there's alarms and there's door alarms, and you can either buy a la carte or you can buy a whole package that has 24/7 monitored security by a company as well, much like you would go to some of the other security companies and buy that, or you can just choose to, you know, do it on your own. So I live 6 miles west of Argusville. I'm a fixed wireless customer. I guarantee you right now I've got probably 3 kids streaming, wife running a small business working from home. I've got cameras up at my house. I can bring them up, see what the kids are up to, what the family's doing. And I've had, you know, fixed wireless since 2012. And it's worked great the whole time. And I've never had any issues watching anything, no buffering, nothing. So.
So here it says 1,069 CAF locations. You might have said this earlier. Is that the census blocks?
That's the number of homes. The census blocks are.
And it says 8,900 homes passed in North Dakota. So
those would be other homes that might not be part of the CAF, but they're in that area.
Only 1,000 homes in all that area? That can't. I mean, that's a huge chunk of eastern North Dakota.
So these are the actual. These are the actual census blocks that were in green were the ones that we were awarded, were the numbered ones. The CAF.
So they're rural, so there's only 1,000. What does it mean, this 8,900 homes passed in North Dakota? What does that mean, passed?
That should be the CAF homes in those blocks, right?
Then what's this 1,069 CAF locations? There's CAF locations and homes passed. I don't understand either of those.
So the locations were the eligible addresses of residents that didn't have access to the required internet speed to be eligible for the auction. The homes would be the wider area around that. So if you went back and looked at the purple, that's the pink colors in there are the actual homes or the actual properties that we need to service. Servicing all the blue areas.
That low number is why
correct.
There's been nothing there
yep.
till CAF 2.
Yep.
And tell me again what the homes passed is.
That's
the 8,900 homes passed.
It's a statistic that we use as far as how many more homes that we'd be able to service with this.
Okay, and then the...
So we'll pass, this will pass approximately another 200,000. This will take Midco service past another approximately 200,000 homes footprint-wide.
So when you say when it passes them, that makes it accessible to them?
Makes
or
it
does
accessible to them.
And then the CAF locations in North Dakota is what? That's not the 200,000 people that are going to get it?
No, that's the actual homes that put that up eligible for CAF because they didn't have the required service. So we are required to serve all those homes to get this funding. Each one of those homes at that exact address which you have, which is typically...
Okay, so those are the ones that justified the build-out.
Correct.
And then in doing that... You become available to this many more homes?
Correct. So if you went back and looked at the pink blocks, that's where the actual homes or residences
okay.
are inside the blue ones. So there should be 1,000 of those in there.
I see. How do they pick those homes versus these homes? I mean, that's so weird.
It's the ones that didn't have access to the required speeds and phone service.
How did they determine that?
Boy, that seems
527 data, is that correct? Is that what the terminology they use? The FCC?
You mean like the form?
Yeah, with some of those that data from that package of things to determine those addresses.
There's been a lot of data collection over the years on
yep.
really precise mapping.
And they changed the CAF funding to allow broadband in, what, 2012, I think?
I don't recall that.
Okay, cool. Good deal.
What's the future of CAF funding? Is there going to be another round of this next year? Or
it's been every couple years. It hasn't been an every year thing, but I haven't heard what the next plan there is for that yet.
How long do you think this will take you to build this out?
You know, we're working on our plans right now. They said 6 to 9 months to get our build-out plan ready. Obviously, the areas where we already have fiber and we already have good access to towers, like where we did in the Red River Valley, will probably be done sooner rather than later because we already have Invisimax there, who we've acquired. We've already got their employees. We've already got their people. We've already got that stuff. If you look at the map in North Dakota, you'll notice we're not in Jamestown, right? So, you know, we're going to need to make some arrangements to get out there, to serve that area, to be able to deploy out there. We don't have employees and staff out there, so... You could just probably expect that would be longer in that process, just from a business standpoint.
Is Invisimax a thing of the past, or is that a subsidiary now that's operating with that name?
It's still been operating as Invisimax. We just acquired them, obviously, in March. So, you know, again, part of the 6 to 9 month plan that we're working on right now will probably, you know, the marketing and aspects of that will include whether or not it's going to continue to be Invisimax or whether it will be renamed Midco Wireless or whatever else the marketing folks decide it'll be.
Okay, and I'm sorry about this next question,
no.
but I don't know if I got distracted or if we cut you off and you never finished, but I don't know anything about the last slide with assistance opportunities. Is this, you want to go through that again?
No, I just think it's, you know, as we begin to do this, I mean, if you're talking about, you know, ways that you or just government in general, right, or just people, right, as in your work and in the things that you do, you know, things that we may need to continue to deploy this throughout the state of North Dakota, access to buildings, you know, towers to be able to deploy this in the state. You know, hopefully we'll be able to not have any issues accessing those with DOT and, you know, things like that, but maybe we'll have trouble. We don't know yet in some of those cases.
Like, what does DOT have out there? I get a tall government building like
yep.
the one we're in, but
yep.
what does DOT have?
They have towers, radio towers around the state.
They run state radio.
State radio.
Oh, okay. As emergency service is part of DOT?
No, but the communication system is, because it grew up under DOT. It's an odd thing.
Okay, and
so
then
you wanted to access that tower to deploy fixed wireless, and I had fiber running right by that tower, and I could not build a tower there, and I could go up and serve 20, 30 miles around it. That'd be sure great to be able to get on that tower without too much of an issue, right? Spectrum advocacy, you know, just to the extent that, you know, and you guys in your work, more spectrum, right? You know, talking to other public service commissioners, federal folks, more spectrum.
That's an ultimate decision the FCC has to choose to make it available and auction
FCC
it.
And Congress can, you know, see different things like that as well to make, you know, pass a law to make some other bands available, different things like that. So
I presume that companies like the ones that bid here west of town are also seeking the same thing, or do they have adequate spectrum from some previous auctions?
Ours will be a mix of deployment. So you may have a rural telco cooperative that's going to use this money and still deliver fiber to all those same CAF locations.
Oh, okay. So you could do that as opposed to this.
Yep.
Okay.
So you have an opportunity. You just had to meet whatever the speed thresholds are in whatever way you wanted to deploy that. So, you know, it wasn't technology specific if you wanted to do that. So if you had a smaller CAF block and you felt...
You know, you should probably pull that closer. I'm guessing Brian's probably having trouble hearing you.
If you had a smaller CAF block, you know, you could have potentially chose to do that. And we may look at some of this too and decide that we're going to run fiber to there, to a tower, you know, in those deployment plans. And it may make sense, right? If you look at, you know, a small rural residential development, for example, there's one along the interstate with 80 homes about a mile and a half west of Argusville, North Dakota. You know, what's going to make sense to deploy from there? And there's also a tower right next to it, you know, kind of in the Argusville Gardner area there. So us getting fiber to both those two locations may allow that development, you know, as well as that tower to get fiber, and then the remaining farmsteads around there maybe fixed wireless. So kind of up in the air how those plans might come together.
Okay, and is there something more I should know about easement access?
You know, again, access to easement, right-of-way, roads, cities, you know, we always continue to have issues with that, even with our current deployment and work. So just, you know, to the extent that we can, you know, be on poles from, you know, telecooperatives, can we be, you know, in right-of-way from cities, and, you know, the easier it is for us to get places, you know, through those easements, either, you know, on public or, you know, private lands, it just makes it easier for us to deploy, right? You know, so we're real good about working with the cities and our friends and neighbors, and don't seem to have too many issues. We had a horrible time crossing the Missouri, running fiber from Kildare up to Williston with the Army Corps. Turned into a, you know, not good for the people of Williston, because they didn't...
I'm shocked, I tell you.
Are you shocked? Yeah. I had to hire two engineering firms, and it took probably 9 to 12 months longer than it should have. So, and that's back when we only had one line, fiber line to Williston from Minot at that point. And if you'll notice, a lot of fiber loops. That way, if the fiber get cuts, it automatically bounces back around in those loops. So when that was happening, we were getting a lot of cuts in the oil.
Should have done it with Dakota Access.
Just ran fiber right alongside it.
Mm-hmm.
All the way down.
Done.
Yep.
At least on that river crossing by Williston.
If it only took you 9 months, they're wishing they had put their pipeline in with your line.
That Williston one went in with nothing.
Yeah,
though.
That was actually easy, wasn't it?
So that's just kind of an overview. Just thought with the phone and internet service coming to larger and larger areas of North Dakota, and continuing to work on closing out some of those spots that didn't have access to high-speed, reliable broadband, we're working on...
Zap the gap.
Yep. Working on that.
Excellent.
So, any other questions? Brian, we'll leave you a copy of this. Hope you could hear most of that okay.
Okay.
All right.
Is this one of the towers? That's on the building, I guess. One of the units here for your service?
Yep, that looks like what it is on top of a water tower or elevator there.
So what kind of height do you need usually?
You know, obviously just the higher you can get, you know, the better angles, the more spread out, so higher is better.
but, you know, just the higher you get up, just the less interference you have in those things. It tends to work a little bit better, but you've been having good success with that, you know, height of an elevator and a water tower, so.
Appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. That's interesting. You're heading down to South Dakota to see our colleagues down there, right?
Yep, we meet with Benham at 10 tomorrow, and then the governor at 11, he called right away and said, you guys got to get here and explain this to me.